Trouble on 94 East now. We've got the two center lanes blocked. That's due to a crash at 13th Street. Backup stretching all the way back through the stadium to about Mitchell Boulevard. Also going to be watching a volume as Brewers fans head out to American Family Field. That will compound the delays as you head east from the zoo towards downtown. Our other slow spot is 43 North through the construction zone. Fond du Lac up to Capitol Drive. Going to be a couple of extra minutes there. And checking the storm team forecast for the home opener. Decreasing clouds. It should be dry, but it will be breezy and chilly as well. A high of 43. Mostly clear tonight, mid to upper 20s for the low. From the WTMJ Traffic Center, I'm Adam Roberts on 101.7 The Truth.
This Associated Bank Sports Update on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth is powered by ESPN Milwaukee. I'm Kyle Wallace. Baseball in Milwaukee was officially back today as the Milwaukee Brewers hosted their home opener. Despite the cold weather, fans showed up in full effect to support the crew. Unfortunately, the Brewers were unable to get the victory in front of the home crowd, falling to the Kansas City Royals. The Brewers will hit the diamond again tomorrow against the Royals with first pitch set for 6:40 p.m., and it can be heard on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. The Milwaukee Bucks were back in action yesterday as they took on the Atlanta Hawks at Fiserv Forum. Giannis had an impressive 31 points, but that was not enough as the Bucks fell to the Hawks 145-124. The Bucks look to end their three-game losing streak tomorrow night as they host the Phoenix Suns in Milwaukee. Tip-off is set for 6:30 p.m. and can be heard on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. This True Sports Update was brought to you by Associated Bank, proudly supporting your hometown teams. Member FDIC.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I don't even know what the Brewers' score was. I don't really know because I saw that game on Saturday and it was. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. You know why I don't want to know? It was an L, right? Okay, we're done. You see that game on Saturday, dude? Now, I'm a baseball fan. I'm showing my weakness. I love baseball. There's a whooping, there's a spanking, and then you just got punked. Brewers got punked on Saturday. They got punked. And the baseball bat that they used punked them. Hey, look, it's legal. And then just blow them out. Punked. Well, we should be respectable. We got 9 runs. We got 9 runs. We're okay. Now you're not. You got punked. That was crazy. Can you say crazy anymore? You can't say crazy?
Okay.
That's crazy that you can't say crazy. That reminds me. Tell that guy don't go anywhere. Well, no, it won't matter because I got a long thing. So he's not going to sit here for a half hour and be like, I'm waiting on you to. Okay. Because at 6 o'clock, Truth Unfiltered. Okay. All right. I'm just checking. Matter of fact, make sure you hang out today because Truth Unfiltered with myself and Denise Thomas. It's some pretty unfiltered stuff on there. Pretty darn unfiltered. So, yeah, the Brewers lost. Again, what's that, like 3 in a row? 4 in a row? I was trying to be nice. You know, I was trying to say, is it 3 or 4? Oh, no, it's 4. 4 in a row. They only got 160. What is it, 162 games or 165? 162, that's what I thought. 172? 62. That's what I thought. So I only got 158 more. Okay. Yeah. It's going to be a long one. 833-212-1017 is the number. So I was kicking around in politics today, looking at some things. I got a slew of stories, and I don't have enough time. So, you know, bear with me. The U.S. Supreme Court today signaled. Now, this is a story from Wisconsin, from Superior, Wisconsin. The Supreme Court signaled today it's poised to side with Catholic Charities in the dispute. Now, get this. Over whether religiously affiliated groups are entitled to an exemption from certain state taxes, a decision that could expand the types of groups that would receive a break under the First Amendment. So, after 2 hours of oral arguments, almost 2 hours, it was clear, this is from CNN Politics, it was clear that even some of the court's liberal justices had concern with the decision from Wisconsin's high court that drew a line between groups that teach religious doctrine and those like Catholic Charities that do not proselyte or proselyte to beneficiaries or preach the gospel. There are lots of hard questions in this area, said Justice Alina Kagan, member of the court's liberal wing, but I thought it was pretty fundamental that we don't treat some religions better than other religions, and we certainly don't do it based on the contents of the religious doctrine that those religions preach. Critics say Catholic Charities' position could jeopardize unemployment benefits for hundreds of thousands of people who work at religiously affiliated organizations. In the first religion-centered appeal, the 6-3 conservative court has heard in nearly 2 years, the Catholic Charities Bureau and 4 affiliate organizations say Wisconsin violated their First Amendment religious protections by denying exemptions from state unemployment taxes. Churches already received that exemption, and so the question for the justices was in essence whether religiously affiliated entities that don't teach religion should also qualify. But that sort of analysis, Catholic Charities warned, requires the state to address philosophical questions about the meaning of religion and the kind of inquiry federal courts usually avoid. That argument appeared to resonate with many on the court. It isn't a fundamental premise, said Neil Gorsuch. It isn't a fundamental premise of our First Amendment that the statute shouldn't be picking and choosing between religions. Doesn't it entangle the state tremendously when it has to go into a soup kitchen, send an inspector to see how much prayer is going on? The conservative justices of recent years have blurred the line that once was separated church and state. They've done so on the theory that some government efforts intended to comply with the First Amendment Establishment Clause has been overbroad and discriminated against religion. The court has expanded the circumstances under which taxpayer money may fund religious schools, for instance. It allowed a public high school football coach to pray on the 50-yard line and ruled that Boston could not block a Christian group from raising a flag at City Hall. A decision is expected by the end of June. It's now, March 31st. It could have broad implications, which is why I'm even talking about it. if it sweeps deeply enough to cover other religiously affiliated organizations such as hospitals. It may also limit the government's ability to look into the pulpit to assess whether groups are in fact religious or only claiming to be in order to avoid taxes. Taking religious organizations at their word on the righteousness of their activities makes it hard for the government to challenge if those activities are actually religious. So then what do? That's my question. Catholic Charities Bureau calls itself a social ministry arm of the Diocese of Superior. In Wisconsin, that's Superior, Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, and it says that it carries out a wide variety of ministries for the elderly, the disabled, the poor, and all that. The group said its employees could continue to have unemployment coverage, but that it would be provided by a church-affiliated entity rather than the state. And so this is going to go on and on. 47 states in the federal government include exemptions for unemployment tax for religious organizations. So if you're doing God's work, is that considered ministry? Well, they're trying to say it's actually, in some instances, not. That your church can get the exemption, but your ministry, if it's separate and incorporated and it's an arm of your church, it may not. It may not. Catholic Charities has participated in its unemployment insurance program without complaint since 1971. So can a religious organization take advantage of the state, and then when it doesn't feel like it, withdraw from the state? Or should it stay with the state? Like, this is what you signed up for. This is what you need to do. Because I think what's happening is that we're missing the religious part. Now, granted, there's some people that just don't like religion, don't support religion, don't do anything. But this is going to have a significant effect because this allows the government to come in and tell you this is what a ministry is. So what you're going to make it a ministry, you're going to have some type of proselyte or preaching. And there has to be some proselytizing, right? During the ministry, right? So if I'm wait a minute. So what if I pick up trash? I got to like walk and preach as I pick up trash or something? What if you're Catholic Charities and you're feeding the homeless? I got to preach to them while I feed them soup. Now, I know some local ministries, when they feed the homeless, you have to sit through, I think they call it a homily. You have to sit through a sermon. It's short before you can eat. You might have to have a 15-minute homily, and we talk about Jesus, and then you get to go eat. That would be considered religion. They're saying just because you feed people and there's no proselytizing, there's no preaching, is it really religious? And should it have the state exemption? And that's going to be important because in the end, either the state's going to make more money or the religion. The problem is if they get Catholic Charities, they're going to start looking at every religious-based, right, like hospitals. That's just more money in a hospital's pocket if they don't have to pay the unemployment tax. I think it opens up a can of worms, and it opens up something that we should all deal with and that we should actually make a point to handle. All right. I got like 10 points for my Dr. Ken's truth today. Number two, I heard a statement, and if you know who T.S. Eliot is, you know, for the you educated folks, some of you folk ain't educated, so, you know, some of y'all didn't graduate the eighth grade, so, you know, it's kind of tough. Why you look at me like that? I wasn't talking about you feeling kind of defenseless, feeling defensive or something. Anyway, so T.S. Eliot, you know, one of my favorite philosophers, good writer. Not always in agreement with him, but and in this instance, I'm not in agreement. T.S. Eliot said, "What we have inherited from the fortunate, we have taken from the defeated." Now, that is the black and white thinking of everyone wins and everyone loses. Or if somebody wins, let me rephrase that, somebody has to lose. And that's just not necessarily true. I can do a lot of things where I win, but there's no loser. But there seems to be this narrative going throughout the black community that if you're successful, then there's somebody who had to become unsuccessful or was left unsuccessful. And it's like we'll hear things and they'll drive us, because it resonates with us, to being the truth, when in fact it's not. That is not the truth. If you have any thoughts, 833-212-1017 is the number. That's just not the truth. I think we, as a people, don't understand that sometimes people can win. Like sometimes people can actually, you know, win and not take advantage of you and not walk over you, or as they say, mess you over. If you get rich or become wealthy, is there somebody that's poor because you became rich or wealthy? Or what? These are just things that have been popping in my head over the weekend that have been just driving me up a wall. Had a conversation with somebody today about the differences between what you say and what you do and what you think. Right? Let's cut out the what you say part. What are we teaching our children in education today? What is it? What are we teaching our children? Well, some would say we're teaching them intellect, or for lack of a better term, intelligence. Personally, I think we do a poor job of teaching kids imagination. I think school is a place where you go to dream, where you can think about all the things and explore all the things without doing them. And when you don't do them, there's no moral outrage. There's no action you take that then causes a consequence. But I think what happens is we teach kids so much intellect that they know enough to not fail. So then they don't do. John Dewey called it moral imagination. Do you have enough imagination to think about what you want to do? Do it in the right way. Think it through in your mind and then act. Because right now what we're seeing in the community is that people are acting and they're not thinking it through. And when you act and you don't think it through, it's irrevocable. Actions are irrevocable. Once you do it, you cannot take it back. But imagination, there's no horizon. There's no limit on it. So you can think through all the things you want to do, all the things you want to say before you take an action. 833-212-1017 is the number. Lana Banana, you are on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hello, how are you? I'm hanging in there.
All right. It's good to hear. What's going on?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a long weekend, but I'm hanging in there.
Yes. I don't think that you have to, someone have to fail, or you have to misuse someone or mistreat someone in order to succeed. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, although some people do that, but mm-hmm. you don't have to.
But you know, people always say that you know, we have this thing in America now where we hate billionaires, people that worked hard, started money, took risk, and we hate them because they're successful, and that's just weird to me.
I don't hate them. I just look and see, you know, how they got to be where they're at to get, you know, the points that'll serve me some good in my process mm-hmm. of me, you know, on my journey. But I don't hate them, but what I do hate, you know, billionaires or even people who aren't, I just hate when they just, you know, brag and, you know, throw it in your face and make it seem like they're better than you just because, you know, all billionaires and successful people aren't like that, but it's just right. those certain few, you know. But those who, you know, just use people and be successful and take all the credit instead of giving credit where credit is due, to me, those are like people who have like an individualistic culture or a mindset.
Right. True.
And those who want to succeed and want to bring others with them once they succeed so that they'll be able to tell and teach others, you know, what is necessary in order to go on their journey.
Well, it's kind of difficult for me to tell and teach while I'm bringing you with me. I think I can do one or I can do the other, but I can't do both.
But I'll bring them with me once I get to where I need to be at, because if I'm going to bring somebody else with me, that's a distraction.
Correct.
I got to stay focused on me.
Right.
And then once I become successful, then I can bring them along with me to where I'm at. I can take them up underneath my wing and you know, just give them like a generalization of what I've been through, the process. You know, you have to think things through. You have to even brainstorm and write things down. As soon as they come in your mind, you have to jot it down. I don't care what time it is. It could be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And you can't rush things and just do things because there are negative consequences. And you're in a worse situation than you were before because you're going backwards. So when you think things through, you do fail sometimes, but you will learn from that failure. And failure does not mean that you're nobody, that you cannot succeed, period. You know, you have to learn sometimes from failing to see what you need to do in order to do what you want to do.
Right.
You know,
right.
to be where you know. So, me, I come from a collectivist, is it collectivistic mindset.
That's unfortunate.
Why?
Because I just say the opposite.
Why?
Because I'm just saying the opposite of what you say.
Oh yeah, but, you're contrarian. Right, that's right.
And so collectivists, okay. I'm carrying everybody with me as I'm growing. Isn't that going to slow you down?
I have to grow. I have to be where I need to be at first.
Okay. But that's not a collectivist. That's not collectivist.
Collectivist is I'm not stepping on anybody's toes while I'm on my journey.
You could be an individual. You could be an individual and not step on anybody's toes.
True that. But then a collectivist.
Right.
I want to help those two who want to be helped. And give them ideas and tell them, you know, you need to brainstorm. You can't just, you know, just do things on the whim. You have to think things out because this is your life. You know, this is serious. You can't just do things just to be doing it like on an impulse.
But wait a minute. Let me ask you some questions, because a collective is done by a group of people as a group together. If you're getting yours first, and then you're showing the group how to get theirs, that's not a collective.
Yes, it is, because I'm bringing a group with me.
Yeah, but you already got it first. The whole point of a collective is that everybody acts together cooperatively.
Which also means that everybody will succeed together.
Not true. But everybody fails, though. See, you can't say that. A collective is everybody wins or everybody loses. There's no, like, yeah.
Everybody, there's no in between.
Communism. having everyone, okay, that commonality or socialism, that commonality of everybody gets paid the same, no matter how much you work, no matter how little you work, no matter where you work, everybody gets the same rent. You get to live the same way, eat the same way. You get access to everything. But that's a collective done by people acting as a group. And I know I'm blending those terms, and they're a little different, but
I'm following you. I'm holding on. But being a collective, this also means that you work in a group once you get there. Because how are you going to work in a group together? You don't even know what to do or where to go. That's a waste of time, energy, and money. And everybody will not be making the same, because everybody's going to have their own occupation, their own livelihood, you know, which
then it's
means
not a collective. Collectives work on common issues, common interests. They work together to achieve a common objective. And if everybody's in a different place and everybody has a different level of education and everybody has a different income, it's not a collective.
But we have common views, though. We all want to succeed.
Views ain't going to do it. Look at the elections. Huh? Views ain't going to do it. We trashing people and canceling people because they don't think the way you think. They're not black the way you think they should be black. They don't dress the way. Collective? I don't know.
Me? Well. My definition of collectivism is when you do things together.
Sure.
In order to achieve a common goal.
Correct.
And the common goal is to succeed, to be comfortable, you know.
Okay.
And to be able to, you will fail, but you won't fail as much if you just do things on an impulse. You have to think it through, because if you fail and you thought it through, you brainstormed, you jotted things down, then at least you did do what you supposed to have been doing in order to fail. But you will learn from those, from brainstorming. You will get those notes, and then you'll combine that with other notes so that you can get, you know, some good points from when you fail. There are some good things you can bring that along with you.
So let me ask you a question.
Your journey. You know, it don't stop right there.
Do you think the black community should be a collective?
But right now we can't do that because
that's not what
we're not
No. Oh. Do you think the black community should work to become a collective?
Yes.
That's the practice or the principle of giving a group priority over every single individual in it.
But can't every single individual be their own person and they just come together?
It's a collective.
So
the theory and practice.
So it's like.
Okay, go ahead.
So when you collective is like when you collect things.
No.
You're collecting.
Collectivism is all working together collectively, where the group's needs, the group's goals are prioritized over what you need. So if you want to go to school somewhere, if you want to go to school somewhere, and we decided we need a dentist, and you want to be a medical doctor and a surgeon, not going
to
happen. The group needs a
dentist.
You got to be a dentist.
So I have to be a dentist. No. Okay. Thank you for. I was looking at it the wrong way. Because everybody's their own individual. You can't just be like a robot
How many times have you heard that black people need to be acting as a group and be a collective?
A lot.
Is it working?
No, because we're not doing it.
Okay. And if you worked on it, right, you would be like a lot of these countries in Central America, Germany, Russia, that don't work. Because it's never worked. Cuba, it's never worked. Is capitalism great? I would give it like a B+, solid B+. But it's significantly better than a collective, because look at Cuba.
So being an individualistic it's not anything negative, you know.
I would
collectivism, which
I would say it's not negative only because of this. And I'm trying to hurry because I gotta take a break pretty soon. I would say it's not bad by virtue of the fact that I always have a vehicle to which to help my fellow man. Nonprofits, you can give money, you can give your time, you can give your talent. You know, if you're a shoemaker, you can give shoes away. If you're a dressmaker, you give dress. Like, there's so many ways that you can give to those that are less fortunate. But I don't think you should give it up because you worked hard to get yours and because somebody else didn't or doesn't want to, but they're part of the group, they get to share in your spoils.
No, they're going to have to go on their own because it's only for those who wants to, you know, do something, be something, because that one person, they're going to bring you down because you always steady have to take away from yourself to give to them so that they can be where you at or at least, you know, comfortable. So, no, they're going to be a hindrance. No, they can't. No. Not everybody. You can't. Everybody can't be successful if they want to, but they don't want to do the work. And if they don't want to do the work, you know, if we talk and we, you know, talk together and try to come up with an idea, whatever, you want me to do all the work and you do nothing, we can't work together. We can't even be together. We can't socialize together because that's negativity in my life. I don't need that. I'm moving forward.
Well, I mean, you yourself said failure strengthens you, gives you resilience, and helps you, you know, figure out those things you do wrong and grow. So I wouldn't necessarily call it negative.
You mean the individualist?
Right. I wouldn't call it negative. I mean, sometimes stuff happens and you got to regroup and rebuild. And, you know, I mean, it's bad that it happened, but you can grow from it, too.
And it's only negative if you hurt others along the way.
There you go.
All right now. Thank you, sir, Dr. Ken Harris.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Talk to you later. Peace.
Peace. 833-212-1017 is the number. And so what happens, a lot of people don't recognize what that means. A lot of people don't understand and recognize that when you operate as a collective, you lose your individuality, what you think, what you say, where you go. And it's scary. But I think the question we have to ask ourselves is like what James Baldwin said. Are you willing to pay the price for the ticket? You willing to go through to get what you want? Are you willing to pay the price? Most people are not. No, that's not true. Some people are not. But that ticket is intelligence and imagination. That moral imagination that you have in order to do things right because you're doing it right. And we have to remember that. Many times people are not willing to pay the price of what it takes in order to succeed. I want to be a lawyer, but you're not willing to go to school. You're not willing to get good grades, pass the LSAT high enough to get into a formidable law school. All that. We're not willing to do that. And we spend an inordinate amount of time saying, I want, I can, I will, I believe. But I think some of the most powerful words you can ever use in America is when you step beyond what everybody says, when you step beyond what everybody else did. When you used to say I would, if you used to say I can, if you used to say I will, if you used to say, I believe I can, it's those powerful words you use that few people can, and it's, I did.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth.